You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the coaches. Coffee Klatch Part 2. Mike Mack talks back at all the Dak smack. You need to hear it, and you definitely will. Plus, listen up, Chicago. A voice you care about says they are about to make their biggest mistake all over again. And then you'll hear Mike Tomlin all in on his new QB room. We'll tell you why the truth in Pittsburgh is even better than he thinks of it. All that and a whole lot more. Let's do this thing, people. Oh, we got so much on this Tuesday. Oh, we're ready to roll. Tim Legler is here. We're calling him Big Tim for this day. Bartholomew is here.
What up?
Not as Big Tim as Tim Hasselbeck. He's also with us this morning. Mike Tannenbaum's got a mock draft ready to go. Jeff Passan on the baseball story of the day. We are jam-packed. Let's start with the performance of the night. Let's call it the squeaker of the night. Caitlin Clark, the one seed, the legend. How close her career came to ending last night in her final home game with George Kittle and his wife, who played for Iowa, in attendance. Early in this game, Iowa just could not put this away.
No, this was an alley fight. I mean, this was as physical a game as you're going to watch all season. Caitlin Clark, that's the most space she had the entire night. You know, when she gets that kind of space, what's going to happen.
We're late in the third quarter here. The lead, however, is only five. By the way, she's chasing Kelsey Plum's record for single season points. And spoiler alert, she'll wind up breaking it in this game. But with 3 minutes to go in the game, West Virginia is only down two, and here they come.
They stayed within striking distance. They got some stops, and finally they strung together some shots, and they actually... biggest play of the game right there, Gabby Marshall with the deflection on the open three-point shot. We go the other way. Watch this spin move to the hole for the and one. That, by far, the biggest play in the entire game.
Sydney Offalter, again, not giving the ball up to Caitlin Clark there, takes it herself. That three-point play would put them in front, and they would never surrender that lead. Caitlin Clark getting fouled at the end. The first free throw here will give her the history. She breaks Kelsey Plum's record for single-season scoring. Caitlin Clark would score 32 last night, plus 8 boards, plus 3 assists. And Iowa does what you're supposed to do in the tournament. They survive and advance. But this one was not easy at all in what, again, will wind up being Caitlin Clark's final home game. She put up 50% of her team's points last night. Here she was after the win.
This is definitely up there with the best of them for mentally and emotionally and physically grinding this out and getting the win. But to me, this is like one of the hardest rounds in the NCAA tournament. Everybody's really good. You're expected to win. You're on your home court. We have all the pressure in the world. They have absolutely nothing to lose to come in here and upset us. So I think our group was never flustered by any means when they went and tied it up. I think that's more fulfilling of a win for us than, you know, going out there and winning by 30 points.
I will see again, as I started to mention, she scored half her team's points last night, 32 of the 64. That's the seventh time in her career she's done that, fourth time this season alone. So the one seed survives and advances, but it was not easy. Much more hoops as we go, but to the NFL. And as promised, all morning long, we're going to be taking you down to Orlando where the coaches are all talking. Yesterday, the AFC coaches. Today, the NFC coaches. We know about this offseason in Dallas, the contract extension for Dak Prescott, sort of looming over what has been a very quiet offseason for the Cowboys so far. He is taking up, Dak is, as we speak, more than 20% of the team's salary cap. Maybe that's the reason the team hasn't done practically anything. Just moments ago, their coach Mike McCarthy had this to say.
The draft and develop. And if you look at my history as a head coach, is something I'm very comfortable in, have a lot of experience in. The biggest impact of our football team will come from the players that are currently on the roster. We've got a draft class coming in. We'll continue to be involved in a free agency, but the reality of our business is the economics. I mean, you know, the economics, as your players grow and as their value grows, you know, how you keep them all together is a, you know, that's a whole another competition that goes on year to year. So it's if you're progressing and the value of your players is increasing, the economics of your football teams is never going to be the same year to year. So I get what the numbers say, but the reality of it is, from my experiences, you got to really develop from within.
All right, listen, I mean, I'll give him credit. As Mike T and Tim Hasselbeck and Bartholomew here with me this morning, and again, we're going to hear from all the NFC coaches at one time or another this morning. He's being pretty honest there, right, Mike T? He's basically saying we can't afford to do anything because we got Dak and we got C.D. Lamb and we got Micah Parsons. Don't expect us to get better.
Yeah, I agree. Those are high-class problems to have. Anybody in the NFL would like to have those three players, so more of the money is going to less of the players. So how do we solve the problem? Look, I was a little surprised. Like, don't get Derrick Henry. Maybe go after someone like A.J. Dillon. They didn't. But, Greeny, as you know, there's running backs in this draft, be it Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks from Texas. They'll find a running back, most notably at left tackle. They lose Tyron Smith. They get a guy like Tyler Smith 2 years ago. They could slide him out. So that's been their track record is – draft and develop. I know it's not sexy this time of year, but they got to pay those players, and that's job number one. You can't let Parsons or certainly C.D. Lamb leave the Dallas Cowboys, so I understand their plan.
I understand that, and no one is arguing that you would want those guys to go. What I'm saying is there's no real reason to think that if you keep the same players and just pay them more, that you're going to start getting better. And a lot of this, Tim Hasselbeck, and you and I were talking about this morning, stems back to the fact that they've allowed themselves to get sort of over a barrel with this Dak thing, and they've never really gotten out from under that.
Yeah. No, look, their hesitancy to sign Dak to a deal that, quite honestly, he deserved ended up being that, you know, turning out where they end up paying Dak Prescott so much more money. We have the graphic up there, over $55 million against the salary cap this season. And so it's basically, you know, up to Dak to rework a deal, which means they've got to extend him. They haven't done that yet. And because of that, it is preventing them from being more active in free agency, whether it was Derrick Henry or A.J. Dillon. Look, they need a bigger back. Like, that's the fact that they need a bigger running back. They don't have one, and they haven't done anything about it. And while they can do something about it in the draft, that's not the only need that they have. And so I think as they get older on the offensive line, I think as they, you know, kind of are dealing with the change at running back, there are things that they probably should be involved in free agency that they haven't been, and a lot of it stems back to the fact that, you know, the game of chicken between Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones, Dak won that, but now I think it's costing their football team.
Yeah, and they played it once, and Dak won it, and now they seem to be playing it again, and Dak is going to win. It's just a question of how much he runs up the score. So where does this leave the Dallas Cowboys?
I have mixed reviews. When you think about Dak Prescott, his contract, and you have to ask yourself, what have we really won by playing Dak Prescott, paying Dak Prescott this money? And I know you can do a lot worse than Dak Prescott, but Dak Prescott has fallen short every time he was asked to carry a football team. You know, when you look at what happened in Kansas City, and you know what, you know, Patrick Mahomes proved by taking the money, and you're going to have to say goodbye to some people. But he's continued to win Super Bowls, so that, to quote Mike Tannenbaum, he's a force multiplier. We don't know about that. About that, I wonder if this building is split, saying, "Hey, is this the best our team can be?" Because you can't hit in the draft like you hit with a guy that's a generational talent like Michael Parsons. You can't find a guy that's a generational talent like C.D. Lamb. They hit in the draft, you know, when you talk about Tyler Smith. And now, if you pay Dak again, you're going to have to start saying goodbye to some of that talent. So if you're not going to be the most talented football team, then Dak is going to have to do more. And it is about developing your players and players taking the next step. We saw last year with Bland, right? Like, Dallas has the best of everything. They have two of the best corners in the game. They have two great receivers. They have a solid offensive line. They have two bookend defensive ends. You can't have the best of everything.
Right.
But the problem is, when you draft well like they did, then the credit card bill is due. And now the credit card bill is due, and you're looking at Dak saying, okay, Dak, we can pay you. You can be the highest paid quarterback, but that's not going to be, you know, conducive to us winning football games and trying to win a championship. So I think it's some people in there that say, hey, Trey Lance is on the roster. Maybe we develop him. We decide to go the San Francisco 49ers route, where we have a great team with a lot of talent and a quarterback that may not be the best, but we get more from everybody else, because Dallas was San Francisco first. They found the third round or fourth round quarterback in Dak Prescott, and they were able to spend money on luxury goods outside of him, and it still has yielded mixed results.
Right, and the 49ers have taken it a lot farther in the playoffs, even if they haven't wound up winning it all. So, Mike T, quickly, have they fallen behind? That the Eagles made a lot of big splashy moves. Has Dallas fallen behind in their own division?
Absolutely. I think Saquon Barkley makes Jalen Hurts healthier this year. And what we saw last year with Lamar Jackson coming down the stretch, he was healthy and Baltimore had a great year. I think Jalen Hurts wasn't himself a year ago. I think Saquon Barkley is a difference maker. And right now, as you said, Greeny, Dallas held serve. Philly got better. It was close. I give Philly the decided edge for the NFC East.
Me too. Okay, so again, we'll be hearing from all these coaches in the NFC all morning long, and as they speak, we'll be playing you what they're saying because so many big decisions around the league being reacted to this morning for the first time. In the meantime, we have one more enormous story from yesterday, and I assume you know what I'm talking about. This is the Shohei Ohtani story. The Dodgers star pitcher yesterday meeting with the media and saying definitively that he never bet on sports and accusing his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, of stealing money from his accounts to pay gambling debts. It was Ohtani again speaking for the first time since Mizuhara was fired last week. Ohtani says that Mizuhara stole $4.5 million from his bank account and wired it to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. With a new interpreter by his side, Ohtani spoke for 12 minutes yesterday evening. He did not take any questions.
僕自身は何かにかけたりとか誰かに代わって、その、スポーツイベントにかけたりとか、それをまた頼んだり、っていうことはないですし、僕の口座から、ブックメーカーに対して、誰かに送金を依頼したことももちろん全く、ありません。正直、ショックというまあ言葉が、まあ、正しいとは思わないですし、それ以上の、こう、うまく言葉では表せないような感覚でこの1週間ぐらいはずっと過ごしてきたので今はそれをうまく言葉にするのは、難しいなという思っています。
A source from Major League Baseball told ESPN that MLB's investigators have spoken with federal prosecutors and are free to proceed without restrictions in their own investigation. Our Jeff Passan has been covering this. He will join us in our next hour with all of the insight. If you're confused by this story, he will clear it up as best he can. In the meantime, as promised, a lot more football to get to today. Is Chicago really the best situation for Caleb Williams, or could their coaching status ruin the start of his career? You will hear from his coach as we roll on. Plus, Russ in pole position in Pittsburgh. But is a QB controversy inevitable, and is that actually a good thing for their legendary coach? Buckle up. We're busy all morning long. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up. We are brought to you by MLB The Show 24, available on all major consoles, rated E for everyone. All morning long, we're taking you to Orlando, where the NFC coaches are speaking over breakfast this morning at the owners' meetings. Among them, the Bears coach, Matt Eberflus, talking about his takeaways from Caleb Williams' pro day. The expectation is the Bears will draft Williams number 1 in the draft. Here's Chicago's coach just moments ago.
biggest takeaway is that you can see the arm talent on the film, and you can see it there in person. And that was the biggest takeaway. What I loved to see was that the interaction with the other players. You can see that, and you know, we talked to every person that was on that team. You know, at the Senior Bowl, we interviewed them. We interviewed them at the Pro Day. We talked to those guys at the dinner, and you can certainly see that those players love him and respect him and what he's brought to that program.
Okay, so I mean, those are just a lot of words, but at the end of the day, Robert Griffin was on here yesterday with us, and he said something I've been saying for a long time, and it's louder when he says it than when I say it. But the reality is, my biggest concern if I'm Caleb Williams or anyone the Bears are going to draft is that they seem to be in this cycle where they are just not matched up. If there were three most important people, Mike Tannenbaum, and I'm including you and your brethren in this, if there were three people who really matter in a football organization, a general manager, a coach, and a quarterback, it would be nice if you had them all on one cycle. But the Bears never do that. It absolutely impacted Mitchell Trubisky. It absolutely impacted Justin Fields. And here you are with Matt Eberflus sitting there talking about how much everybody enjoyed Caleb Williams at his pro day. But if they're 5-12 next year, he's probably getting fired and a whole other coaching staff comes in and they're right back on that hamster wheel. What I'd like to hear him say is, you know what? I just had a great conversation with our management and I've just signed a new extension and I'm going to be the coach of the Bears for the foreseeable future, no matter what we do next year, so we can develop a quarterback and not just be desperate to win games. How does that sound, Tannenbaum?
Pretty good. Make sure you extend the general manager as well, because he's actually more important. But I actually agree with you, Greedy, from this standpoint. You know, in the city of Chicago, the expectations are going to be sky high that he needs to be Patrick Mahomes by the end of the preseason. And as Coach Parcells would say, let's not put him in Canton quite yet. What I'm fascinated by is what's going to happen when there's a three-game losing streak. Because there will be bumps in the road. He has incredible talent. I would take him number one in a heartbeat, but Greeny has been sacked over 80 times, 32 fumbles. There will be bumps in the road. So I agree with you. If I was management, I'd say Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Caleb Williams, you guys are tied together for the next 5 years. Don't worry about the bumps in the road this year. Let's make sure we have the right foundation. You can run the ball. You don't have to throw for 4,000 yards. And let him walk before he runs, and that will give this organization the best chance for long-term success.
Tim.
Well, listen, I don't know why we're stopping there. Let's get the GM lakefront property, a penthouse on Michigan Avenue. Like, what else do we need to do for the general manager to make his life easier, less stressful, all of that stuff? Guys, this is crazy to me. When you get drafted number one overall, you're supposed to be a guy that fixes things. You're supposed to make things better. You're picking number one because things have not gone well. It's not been perfect. They are drafting you at that spot, basically saying you are better than everybody else that is leaving college football this year. In fact, you are so good, you are going to change the trajectory of our organization. Like, that's why you go number one overall, not because you've orchestrated everything to be perfectly lined up for that player's success, the general manager's success, the head coach's success. Like that's how it's supposed to work. Look at Carolina. That was supposed to be scripted for success with all of these guys that were going to be tied at the hip forever. They didn't even make it through year one. You're going to go to a situation that isn't perfect. Go fix it. That's why you're getting drafted number one overall.
Art, who's right?
I think it's pretty close to damn good, right? When you look at it, this isn't that one of those typical situations, right? Because this isn't him going to a team that had the worst record,
right?
Because they have somebody else's pick.
Right.
He's not going to Carolina. He's going to a team that finished 7-10. And this team is a lot closer to being 10-7 than they are 7-10. This is a great situation. He has 2,000-yard receivers. He has an improved offensive line, defensive stars on the other side of the ball where he doesn't have to put everything on his shoulders. He has a 1,000-yard rusher. This is arguably one of the best situations a young quarterback can ever ask to go in because he's not going to be asked to do a lot. He should be asked to develop and during the end of the season be able to make 20 throws a game. They still have $23 million to improve this team after the draft that they can go out after that June 1st, which Shanahan understands. It's going to be a lot of good players that's going to get cut. That's going to be their one-year deals. This is a perfect situation. You look at teams in the top 10, I can't find a better situation for a young quarterback than the one that he's going to find himself in. It's no pressure on him. Throw a spot pass to Keenan Allen or DJ Moore and let him run down the damn football field.
I actually agree with what you're saying there. Mike T, I'll come back to you. I got to get to the hoops here, but what you're saying is not wrong, but it actually isn't the same thing that I'm concerned about. We'll talk more about that as we go. In the meantime, you want to talk about a concern? Did you see what happened to the Celtics last night? Where's Legler? Legler, the Celtics, they've won 7 straight, right? They're the best team in the NBA, right? And when we see Al Horford make a 3-point shot here, they're going to have a 30-point lead on the road against Atlanta last night.
Up 30, put them on ice, right, Greeny? It's pretty much over if you're the Boston Celtics against the Atlanta Hawks.
But what was actually over was the Celtics evening. The Hawks just chipping away. They came all the way back from 30 down.
Yeah, they saw a little bit of the door opened at the end of the half. They cut it from 30 to 18 going into the locker room. That gave them a little bit of hope that they could maybe get back in this game to start the third quarter. It's exactly what they did.
I mean, we're in a tie game here in the final 3 minutes. Just watch Jason Tatum, though, by the way. Oh, throwing that one down. He would score 37. Celtics trying to hang on. But in the end, it was Atlanta turning defense into offense.
Yeah, and they started stringing shots together. This can be infectious for a team. Once you start to see the basketball go in from the three-point line, Atlanta got hot. Boston just could not get it done offensively to secure the game.
DeAndre Hunter is going to knock down a 3 off a rebound here, and Hawks come all the way back and win, playing without Trae Young. They win it 120 to 118, a game again in which they trailed by 30 points. Now, look, the Celtics, I think they actually did wrap up the one seed last night in the East anyway, despite the loss. Whether they did or they didn't, I mean, they're so good, it's hard to make a big deal out of any loss. But
yeah,
you blow a 30-point lead, doesn't feel good.
Teams were 152-0 when they were up 30 this year in the NBA.
Well, there you have
prior to last night. So that's what a 30-point lead does. Now, listen, leads disappear at a greater rate in the NBA than they ever have before because of the prevalence of the 3-point shot both ways, because Boston, they got cold from the three-point line. We know that they're a three-point dependent team. That is, to me, their one vulnerability at times. They can hunt that shot a little bit too much, and if they string together a series of misses, you allow teams to get back into the game that are a high-volume three-point shooting team like Atlanta was last night. So it was almost this perfect storm. I'm not going to read too much into this, like, oh, have we found the vulnerability and the weakness for the Celtics because they blew that lead? No, I think they took their foot off the gas. They got distracted. They lost concentration. They were outscored by 24 points in 5.5 minutes to end the second quarter and the first 4 minutes of the third quarter. That's what we're talking about here, a very short period of time. They didn't even turn the ball over that much, Greeny, but every time they did, it ended up in a 3-point shot.
I get it. I'm not going to try and make too big a deal out of it, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Our friends at ESPN Bet say the Celtics are an odds-on favorite to win the East. They're minus 140. So are you taking the Celtics or the field?
I'm taking the field because the Denver Nuggets exist. If the Denver Nuggets weren't in the league.
Just the East.
I thought it was to win the
NBA
title.
It's just to win the East. Minus 140 to win the East.
Oh, I'm taking them. I'm absolutely taking the Celtics
against the field in the East.
To win the East. They're going to be in the NBA Finals. I have no doubt. Barring some sort of injury to one of their major components, the Boston Celtics are going to be in the NBA Finals, despite the fact that Milwaukee has narrowed the gap.
Yeah.
This is by far the best team in the Eastern Conference. But to win it all, you still have the Nuggets out there looming and a couple other teams in the West that are very interesting to me.
All right, stay close by. I have a lot more basketball. We got so much going on today, a lot more hoops, including a story from yesterday that could be potentially very disturbing, and we'll talk about it. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin all in on his new quarterback room. We'll tell you why the truth in Pittsburgh is even better than the coach thinks it is. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We approach the bottom of the hour. We're back here on Get Up. And again, coaches talking this morning, and they did yesterday as well. And among them was Mike Tomlin, who has a brand new rejuvenated quarterback room that features two well-known names, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And despite Tomlin saying that Wilson has the pole position on the starting job, he also expressed lots of excitement about the younger Fields.
You know, he oozes talent and potential. He's worn the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback, but still he gets an opportunity to come into a community like situation and learn from a guy that's been doing it for over a decade. Man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I'm just excited about working to be a part of extracting it. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities.
Why did you laugh while he was talking?
I love that guy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, man, he the ops. I'm not supposed to like him because he's a Steeler and I'm a Raven. But, man, I tell you, I would love to go play for a guy like that.
But what's he saying? What are you reacting to specifically?
Well, just, you know, a lot of meat on the bone. He says all the right things. And, listen, it's about managing egos, right? And I think he's done a great job in creating a situation where Justin Fields, I believe, can flourish, right? Because he comes in with no expectations, which is going to make him hungry. He understands that he's playing for his career. You have an opportunity to sit him behind a veteran who can handle all the pressure. But then there's nobody that's more popular on the football team than the backup quarterback, right? And it's only, like, Russell Wilson is only, you know, setting himself up for, if he doesn't play great, to lose that job. So, you know, you're going over here, and everything that Mike Tomlin is saying is written in pencil. Yeah, today Russell Wilson is the starter.
Yeah.
But I think in the future, before it's all said and done, the end of the season, Justin Fields is going to be the guy that takes him to the next level with those young legs. Justin Fields is everything that Russell Wilson used to be, right? People forget that Russell Wilson was one of the most best dual threat quarterbacks in football. He's rushed for over 5,300 yards, and Justin Fields can learn from him. But then at some point, you know, Russell Wilson's going to have to pass the baton, and I think it'll be the beginning of the Justin Fields era in Pittsburgh.
Tim, you're our quarterback today. Who is the Steelers quarterback? We get that Russell is in pole position, but who do you believe will be their starter week one, and who do you believe will be their starter week, let's call it eight?
Yeah, I think there's a chance Russ is the starter week one, but I think when you get to week eight, I think it's going to be Justin Fields. The reality is that Russell Wilson hasn't played great, really, you could argue, the last three seasons. And so with that being the case, and the fact that he's making league minimum, and the fact that a remarkably talented player will be his backup, which you know, is going to be enticing for the Steelers coaching staff to play, as well as just kind of find out what they have in him. I think the desire to play him is going to be strong. And so unless Russell Wilson is playing unbelievably, or unless the Pittsburgh Steelers are just not losing football games, I think it's going to be too hard not to play Justin Fields. And so with that being the case, I think we're, well, whether you want to call it a controversy or not, when you're playing two different quarterbacks, it's generally speaking not good for your football team. I think they're headed that direction. And I think it's obvious that that's what's going to happen.
Look, Mike, they inarguably did a great job here, right, Mike T? I mean, they improved from Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and they gave up practically nothing to do it in trade compensation or in salary. That said, if you're in charge there, how are you viewing your quarterback situation short-term and, more importantly, long-term?
Yeah, Justin Fields is their future, so I know Russell Wilson right now is a star as Mike Tomlin wants to tamp down the noise, but Green, this could be one of the best trades we've seen in a decade or more because Justin Fields is 25 years old. I think he's a perfect fit for Arthur Smith. And you look at what Arthur Smith did with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, very similar skill set from a talent standpoint. They're going to run the ball, quarterback runs, and then play action with deep shots. And that's what Justin Fields can do. This is immeasurably better than what they had with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. I think it was a great job getting both players. And not all quarterback depth charts are created equal. And I know that Russell Wilson is one, but gosh, 1A right below that is Justin Fields, and he's going to come on strong. And I think it's going to be hard to keep him on the bench. And once he's in, we're talking about an extension and making him our quarterback for the foreseeable future.
And so very quickly, and obviously this, we're a long way off from all these things actually happening, but do you believe, we've been saying for the longest time, wow, look what Mike Tomlin has done with no quarterback, no guy. Do you believe they've got the guy now? Can Justin Fields be the guy that makes them a legitimate contender?
I think he's potentially going to save the general manager's job because you talk about Kenny Pickett. You know, that was a, talking about falling flat on your face. You know, in a draft that didn't have a lot of good quarterbacks, you know, they took him and they took Najee Harris in the first round, and they needed talent. And this is an influx of talent. This is a guy that makes the running game better because of his ability, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher. I think this gives them an opportunity to compete. I still didn't think that this doesn't put them over the top, you know, thinking about who they're dealing with. This gives them a fighter's chance. The fact that the gap between the quarterbacks in that division isn't as big as it once was when Kenny Pickett was there.
Okay, so we're going to continue to hear from all the football coaches as the morning continues. I want to get on now to a developing story because this is something that could wind up being very important. As legalized gambling has become more and more popular in the United States and more a part of our conversation, there's a developing story and a potential scandal in the NBA. Sources tell ESPN that Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter is under investigation following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. The issues surround prop bets involving Porter from two different games, one on January 26th and one on March 20th. Now, I'm sure a lot of people saw this headline yesterday and aren't fully clear on what it means. So that's our job, is to try and clarify these things for you. So let's do it. I want to bring in our gambling insider extraordinaire, David Purdom. We're delighted to have you here, David. But of course, we begin with Woj. And so Woj, again, for the basketball fans who are looking at this and saying, I'm not really fully able to digest what's going on here, what do they need to know?
Greeny, that there were two games, one in January, one more recently in March, where there was a significant increase in irregular betting props on Jonte Porter that were flagged by sportsbooks, DraftKings and another sportsbook. And in those games, the unders came through for Jonte Porter in two games with which he left the game after playing only 4 minutes and after 3 minutes. And in both of those games for DraftKings, that Jonte Porter was the biggest money winner among all players in the NBA on individual prop bets, which are essentially picking over or under on a player's, you know, scoring, rebound, and assists. And then in one of those cases, three-point attempts. And it was flagged, certainly by the gambling companies, and Jonte Porter has now been sidelined in Toronto. The league told us that they are looking into this, and certainly this has set reverberations around the NBA. Certainly the worst nightmare for any professional league to have the suggestion of gambling involved in player performance within a locker room, within a game. Certainly right now, this is circumstantial. Now the league will take a look, I'm sure, along with authorities to find out more if Jonte Porter or anybody had any impact on, you know, the kind of bets that were placed. As David Purdom reported for us, there were people trying to get, there were bettors trying to get down bets of upwards of $10,000 to $20,000 on individual Porter bets.
Prop bets. Yeah, the idea being he'll score fewer than X amount of points, and there are people trying to bet an insane amount of money, an abnormal amount of money on those sorts of bets relative to what you might expect. And again, this isn't it's not LeBron James we're talking about. It's not a player who you would normally expect people to be racing to place prop bets on. So David Purdom, again, you are the expert in this area. None of the rest of us are. What should people know here? What are the really important things that people should know about this situation?
Irregularities in the betting market aren't really that difficult to spot for the bookmakers, and this certainly wasn't. Here's why. Betting limits on NBA player prop, while they vary by sports book and by customer, but they typically you can get down maybe $1,000, maybe a $2,000. To get much more down, you're going to have to be a VIP with special privileges. Well, on this January game against the Clippers in question, one sports book said that it had multiple accounts trying to place bets upwards of $10,000 and $20,000 on Porter unders. So you have this low-profile player, usually doesn't get a lot of garner a lot of betting interest, and all of a sudden people are wanting to bet big on him. It raised red flags, and that's when a similar situation played out last Thursday with Porter again against the Kings, and bookmakers at that point were convinced something was up.
Again, in both of those games, he played very few minutes before leaving the game. And while David's connection with us is not perfect, I think you can understand what he's saying. I wanted to bring Tim into this as well, because, again, I mean, you played in the league and you understand the magnitude of something like this. And you were saying to me before we came on here, I won't put the words in your mouth, that there would be nothing easier to engineer than something like this.
Absolutely. A role player guaranteeing basically his unders by taking himself out of the game because of a physical issue. Because, look, if you're going to bet on the under and go out there and play your normal minutes, well, then you're going to have to do something different in terms of the way you're playing. Your coach is going to pick up on that right away. It's not like you can go out there and turn down a wide-open three-point shot. So the best way to guarantee it would be to say, hey, there's something wrong with me physically. I'm only going to play a few minutes. So now I know for a fact I'm going to hit the unders on those things. Look, there's a lot more has to come out about the story, obviously. This doesn't sound coincidental. This is a massive story, Greeny, because you're talking about anything related to sports where you feel like there's something going into it that's predetermined, and you're not just watching something that's a random series of events and now we're going to bet the outcome. This is a big, big story.
Yeah.
This is a big problem for the NBA, and sounds like they're going to be right on top of this. There's going to be a lot more information to come.
And that's why I wanted us to cover it here, because it is that. It is important. And it is important to also point out we don't know exactly what happened yet. The league doesn't know exactly what happened yet, but the investigation has begun. Woj, I'll give you the final word. What fill in any blanks that we're leaving here for the fans who are trying to make up their minds what to think.
Well, I think one of the things that the league will want to find out was, did Jonte Porter take himself out of the game? Did the team medical personnel decide that he couldn't play? Why did he only play 3 minutes and 4 minutes in those games? Was it his decision? Was it the team's decision? Those are certainly questions that'll be asked. But listen, this has been a concern for a lot around the league, front offices, coaching staffs, players, agents. You know, listen, gambling has always been there. It has always been under the surface. The gambling companies will say to you that this allows it to be regulated, that a blip, like in this instance, allows for there to be a look into it. But the marketing of gambling, the fact that it's on the team's social media, it's in the arena, that these, in many cases, these very young players could perhaps be lured into situations they otherwise wouldn't have been. I think that's why there has to be constant education and constant warning that the consequences for any involvement in this would be grave for any player's career.
So we'll leave it there for the moment. But again, we wanted to make sure you had as much insight into this story as possible, because it is, as Tim said, and I think as we all made clear here, potentially very important. We will keep an eye on this as that investigation continues. In the meantime, we'll take a short break as we continue back to some football conversation, a primetime proclamation. Did you hear what Deion said about his two star players and their future in the NFL? It could shake up everything, and you will hear that as we continue. Plus, Mike T has a brand new mock draft, and it wouldn't be Mike T if he didn't have a huge trade that he thinks makes sense. And you know what? Maybe it does. You'll hear it next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back on Get Up on this Tuesday morning, and our own general manager, Mike Tannenbaum, has a mock draft available for your viewing today, and it wouldn't be Mike T if there weren't some Tannenbaums. As you see, he has four quarterbacks going off the board with the first four picks. The first three may not make a lot of surprise. The fourth one, J.J. McCarthy to Arizona. Mike T, explain that Tannenbaum.
All right. J.J. McCarthy is 6 years younger than Kyler Murray. I think he has a really high floor. This guy lost one game in college. He is perfect size, and he's only get better because he was in an offense that just didn't showcase his talent. So when we could save $27 million a year and be younger and more durable than Kyler Murray, who hasn't played a full season since 2020, that's an easy decision for the Arizona Cardinals.
So they would take the quarterback there. And then what of Kyler Murray? Go through the rest of the Tannenbaums here.
Yep. So we're going to trade Kyler Murray and a third round pick to the Minnesota Vikings for the 11th pick. This actually works out really well. It's a very tradable contract because he has guaranteed money this year, next year. And now if you're Minnesota, you're actually 9 years younger than Kirk Cousins and $10 million per year cheaper. So this is actually a good move for Minnesota. And now if you're Arizona with the 11th pick, you could take a corner, which they desperately need. So to me, I don't understand who would say no between Arizona and Minnesota. They both get younger and less expensive than their current situation. And then the last one that's noteworthy in this mock draft, Greeny, is the LA Rams take Michael Penix, and he's the sixth quarterback. So we have Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. We talked about J.J. McCarthy. I think Bo Nix definitely goes to Denver. That's what everyone seems to think. And then if we're the LA Rams, first-round pick in 7 years, Greedy, go get Michael Penix. Matt Stafford is much closer to the end of his career than the beginning. If he was healthy, he would be a top-five pick as well.
Okay, so six quarterbacks in round one, which wouldn't be unprecedented, but certainly would be a lot. That wouldn't surprise me that much. Let's talk, when you said who would say no to this trade, Bart Scott was saying no with his eyes. That's for sure. Well, you don't like it.
I love you, Mike, but you know, you talk about Arizona. You talk about that contract. Kyler Murray at $46 million is a discount. You know, it was near the top of the market before in a couple of years, but this is a contract that ages beautifully. How about getting him Marvin Harris Jr. so you can try and play? I think we underestimate it. We don't really talk about how talented Kyler Murray is. I know he hasn't been healthy, but this isn't an old man right here. He's still a relatively young quarterback in a league where quarterbacks play well into their late 30s. You know, why would you want to give away a franchise quarterback? You know, this is just like saying, okay, if not Kyler Murray, then who? Because we're projecting that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good quarterback. I don't see that. I think, you know, you talk about coaching staff. You got to try and win football games. And Kyler Murray gives you the best chance to do so. And I think that, you know, I think the race for a quarterback is going to be who's going to trade up maybe for the Giants spot when you look at, you know, picks 11, 12, and 13. And then if I'm Arizona, if I'm letting you move up there to get your franchise quarterback, then you're going to have to give me 11 and 23. You're not just moving all the way up from 11 for just 11 and a third. You know, in my opinion, you got to give me a Trey Lance type of deal because you're getting your franchise quarterback. That's not enough, you know, meat on the bone, so to speak, you know, for me, if you're talking about, you know, giving up the fourth overall pick.
So there's a lot here to digest. And Mike, I'll come back to you. But at what I think is the most interesting to football fans everywhere, because I love a good mock trade more than anybody, but we have no idea if this is going to happen or not. What really is at issue here is just how good is J.J. McCarthy, right, Tim? You evaluate these quarterbacks. You are very much on record as saying you love Drake May. The opinions on him have been mixed among some of the analysts that I have here. You're extremely high on him. I want you to hear what Jim Harbaugh, who, of course, was J.J. McCarthy's coach at Michigan all these years. I want you to hear what Harbaugh said about him and continues to say about him leading up to the draft.
I think he plays quarterback the best of any quarterback in the draft. He's incredible. So big market, small market, it wouldn't. Cold weather, hot weather, you know, it won't matter.
So, again, I mean, Jim Harbaugh was actually the last Michigan quarterback to go in the first round. J.J. McCarthy is going to be the next. Harbaugh's been saying that a long time. You know, and we can all sort of smile and all that sort of thing. But, Tim, I mean, I think Jim is legitimately convinced that J.J. McCarthy is going to bloom as he gets to the NFL and is in a different kind of offense. What are you seeing in him as a prospect?
Well, let me just say this with Jim Harbaugh. I'm sure that he thinks that he's going to bloom, but you know, the Chargers aren't in the quarterback market. I don't know what his evaluation process is of all the other quarterbacks in the draft. So, you know, they're not in that game. Here's what I would say about J.J. McCarthy. I think there's a lot to like about him, and it doesn't surprise me that Mike T. likes him. I think when you look at J.J. McCarthy, the fact that he's kind of been battle-tested, had to compete for the job, played well in college, I think those are the things, a lot of experience in a big program, in big games. There's a lot to like about him. I think because of the offense that he played in, and Mike referenced this, I do think there's legitimate question to say, who is he really as a passer? Because there were games he wasn't great as a passer. And you could say, well, he didn't get a chance to really turn around because they didn't throw the ball that much. That's fair, and that's accurate. But it doesn't really work that way in the National Football League where you can just line up and hammer somebody with the football, and so in the run game. And so I think when you look at that, I think there's at least at a minimum, some question, like you're projecting for sure of who he really is as a passer. Is he a natural thrower? Yeah, he is. Is he physically talented? Sure. Is he a good runner? Yes. All those things are true, but we're talking about the fourth pick in the draft. You know, for me, I think there's enough question about who he actually is when you're talking about picking up that high. And I would say this on Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, you know he can play. Actually had a pretty good year coming off of an injury, and so you would be turning the page on someone who you know can play at a certain level to somebody who, you know, it's still a pretty big projection in my mind. And so in that regard, and I do think Murray's, you know, deal is going to age well. Listen, Minnesota probably should be interested in something like that. I'm just not sure that Arizona would want to go that direction.
Let me go back to McCarthy here, Mike. I mean, look, I love the mock trades. But that one feels unlikely at minimum. So as far as McCarthy is concerned, if I were to say to our audience right now, I think his basement is six. I don't think there's any way in the world he's still available with the seventh pick in this draft. I don't know who it is that's going to take him, whether it's the Giants or someone trading up or whatever it is. But that when we get to pick number seven a month from yesterday, his name will be off the board. Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, if that's a moral lock, in my opinion, you know, you go back a couple of years, the Illinois game in 2022, the Alabama game this year, in the most consequential moments, he played his best. And if I'm the New York Giants and I have a quarterback like Daniel Jones, between sacks and turnovers and durability, J.J. McCarthy is a better football player than Daniel Jones today, let alone what his ceiling could be. And then Greeny, just to push back on Tim and Bart for a second, Kyler Murray hasn't played a full season since 2020. And shockingly, I have a graphic here. When you look at the cost, and you could have roughly at $8.5 million a year for J.J. McCarthy, it's a no-brainer. Would you rather have Christian Wilkins, Joey Bosa, fill in the blank, another great player and a younger, more durable player than Kyle Murray? To me, this is an easy decision if I'm Arizona.
I don't think people will realize Kyler Murray is still only 27
years old.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll have more on this as we go. There's nothing more fun than a Mike Team mock draft. In the meantime, the D in Big D is for disappointment. Their offseason has been just that. You'll hear from their head coach and several others as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.